You're turning to those two chapters, Exodus 13 and Isaiah 52. Let me tell you, it's good to see you here this morning. Like Brother Chris said, the last Sunday of the year. And I want to tell you, it's been a joy, even though the year's been tough, it's been a joy to be ready to start another one. And I appreciate you for being here in Grace Walk. And by the way, Valerie and I thank you for your Christmas cards and text and certainly your love offering last week. I appreciate that. I want to tell you that it is special to me, and we're so grateful for that. The handout that was passed out has an incorrect date on it. This was what I was actually going to do on December 13th, so just disregard that. I do know how to read a calendar. Just after I had printed these up, I found out that Brother Bacon was going to take our Sunday school class, so I already had them printed up, and I wasn't going to reprint them. But New Year's Day is soon upon us. Friday, New Year's Day. And along with New Year's Day will come all kinds of resolutions. New Year's resolutions. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat better. You know, we've been around the block a few times. We've heard this, and we've said this ourselves many, many times. But coinciding with our little series, Love Alive, I love God's church. I love God's Bible. I love God's people. I love God's leaders. Along with that series, on December 6th, 3 weeks ago, we started a two-part lesson, I love God's service. I love to be in God's service. And so this is part two of that, and I want to just talk about what an opportunity we have for the new year, 2021. No matter what level we are today in being a part of God's service and working for Him, 2021, January 1st, 2021, and this is an opportunity to be of God's service, to be in God's service. At least don't go down in what we do, but it's an opportunity to start a new year. It's always a good time. And so that's what this is about this morning. And I'm going to get my glasses on here so we can read Exodus 13. Just a couple of verses as soon as I get over there to it. Exodus 13, verse 20, Exodus 13:20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Now you know this story. We went through Exodus ourselves many years ago in this Sunday school class. But you know that God was able to lead His people in a pillar of fire by day or a pillar of a cloud by day and a fire by night. Now go with me to the next chapter, Exodus 14, in verse 19. 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So in the first couple of verses in chapter 13, we read where God instituted the pillars, the day and the night pillars, to lead the people and to give them light. And then in the next chapter of chapter 14, we see where it was reversed from the front to the back. And it was to lead them, and it was to give them light. And you might could say that it was to protect them as well. What happened between the two instances here, between the two texts that we read was that the travels went a little bit further. They went a little bit further down the road. In fact, we're just right up on the point here in chapter 14 where Moses is about to part the Red Sea. So the Egyptians are hot on their trail. They're chasing after them, no doubt causing much worry with the children of Israel. And God gives them a little more assurance. You know, he's good at that. God gives them the cloud that was in front of them, and he takes it and puts behind them, between them and their enemies, and he gives them assurance that he is with them, that he will protect them. Now go to Isaiah 58. I'm sorry, Isaiah 52 first, then Isaiah 58. Isaiah 52, verse 11, says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. That's not a misprint. That's a word. It's used six times in the Bible. Reward. And in its strictest definition, it just means something that's coming behind. And so you could say that when in Exodus 14, when God's pillar of fire by night and cloud by day went from the beginning, from the in front of the people to behind the people, that was their reward. It was God's way of shedding his light and his glory upon the people from the backside. Now go to Isaiah 58, and then I'll leave you alone for a while. In Isaiah 58, we're going to read verse number 8, but I want to tell you what's going on in verses 1 through 7, because there's a lot of reading there. In verses 1 through 7, the prophet Isaiah is talking about the children of Israel being in a bad state of mind with their service to God. They did their service as a show only in front of men. They did their fasting as a show. They did their sacrifices. They did their praying. Brother Chris just went through Matthew 6, where Jesus tells the people there to don't pray and don't fast as a show before people. Do it before me. That's what he says. Do it before your Lord, which is in heaven. And so here in chapter 58, the prophet Isaiah is acknowledging that they do fast and they do serve and they do sacrifice, but it's for all the wrong reasons. Let's read verse number 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, in the last couple of verses before verse 8, the prophet Isaiah helps the people see that what they need to be doing, what they need to be serving, how they need to be serving the Lord is with a heart of sincerity, not with a matter of show. And if they were to do that, if they would start fasting and sacrificing and praying with the right motive of heart, and then God would bless them, as he says in verse 8, thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall bring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. God's glory will be right behind you. God's protection will be right behind you. So this morning, as we have just about 20 minutes left in the lesson, as we go through 2021, let's just talk for just a few moments about how to get God's glory behind us to protect us, how to get God's glory to shine in our lives as we serve him. Now last week we talked about the Luke chapter 2 Christmas story. And we didn't talk about so much the birth of Jesus as the characters in Luke chapter 2, all the things that they did that were so admirable that we could copy them and duplicate them in our own life. And we talked about how in eight different instances, they desired God's glory to shine in their lives. They desired to see God's will to come to pass in their lives. They desired to share the message of the gospel. They desired, and Mary specifically, desired to ponder what God said. They desired, specifically Simeon desired, to be brought by God's Spirit into God's house where he could bless God and he could focus on salvation and he could bless and encourage the people as well. All these things are wonderful to do. That's what we saw in last week's story. That's service. They were conducting their service for the Lord. And then the week on December 6th, we looked at the story of Martha as she washed Jesus' feet. Mary, as she washed Jesus' feet. Martha was running around cooking lunch, but Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to him. And we saw how Mary's act of service, as your handout says, in washing the feet of Jesus, it was not as much as maybe other people in the Bible. Mary's nowhere to be found in Hebrews chapter 11. But her work was a spiritual work. She was anointing the feet of Jesus in preparation for his death and his burial. Her work was an eternal work. Jesus said that she would forever be remembered when people would serve the Lord and would worship, would participate in the act of foot washing. And when they talked about serving the Lord, she would be remembered. Her work would be criticized by others. Her own sister Martha criticized her. Judas Iscariot criticized her. Her work was Christ-centered. While her sister Martha was busy with the activity of fixing the meal, Mary was preoccupied with washing the feet of Jesus. So there was a lot of service going on right there. And that's all very, very important. And so it made me think, let's talk about for just a few minutes why we should love serving the Lord. Why we should have a desire to emulate Mary's story in our life. Why we should emulate Simeon, and why we should emulate Anna in her service to the Lord in Luke chapter 2 from last week. And the shepherds, how they praised the Lord and worshiped the Lord. The very first reason is because God's service brings fulfillment to the Christian. Can you say this right here? There's joy in serving the Lord. There is joy in serving the Lord. You know the story from Matthew 25, the man who goes on a trip and he has three servants. And one servant does a especially good job in watching over the man's possessions. And he says in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." What's it say there? "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There's joy in serving the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 17, verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." The Christian life is a life of sanctification. We should be brought continually, daily, day-by-day basis, week-by-week basis, closer to the Savior. And when we become more like Him, there's satisfaction in that. That's a part of service, is becoming more like Jesus. In our own verse in Isaiah 58, verse 8, "And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Hey, isn't it good to know that God's not only going to be the light in front of you, pointing out the way, lighting the way, but He's going to be behind you as well, being a wall, separating you from the enemy, separating us from evil. And we're all capable of being of service to the Lord. Some people are like Abraham. They've got a big job to do. And then some people have maybe small jobs to do. It says, if we accomplish the job God has given us to do, we shall be as Abraham in Genesis 13:16, whom God promised to multiply as the dust of the earth. Abraham's faith was counted to God for righteousness. Now, Abraham was blessed in the fact that his seed was made as the sand of the sea. God gave him a tremendous family. And we may not be blessed like that way, that particular way, but he'll bless us in his own way. And he'll bless us if we realize that he's put us on this earth for a purpose. God's put me on this earth for a purpose, and he's put Beverly on this earth for a purpose, and they don't necessarily have the same purposes. We don't have the same jobs outside of being faithful to the Lord and supporting his house and being good stewards of what we have. Because we all have a job to do. He's all given us a work to do. And if we're accustomed, as we've said, if we're used to sitting at the feet of Jesus, if we're accustomed to being in the Word of God, we're going to know what that job is. God will point it out to us. And if we do that work that he has called us to do, and if we are faithful in doing that work, it will bring fulfillment and joy to our lives. Quite honestly, I could spend some time on this point because it is so real in my life. As most of you, I'm sure, you've been on both sides of the spectrum here. Stacy, you've been serving the Lord and you've enjoyed God's blessing. And then I don't even know the details of what I'm about to say, but I know it's true. There's probably been times in Stacy's life where he hasn't been 100% for the Lord and has experienced not the joy, but the sadness and the guilt of not serving, because we all do that from time to time. And I can tell you in my life that the saddest times, the most unhappiest times of my life have been when I have been unfaithful to do what God wants me to do. Man. There's a hymn that I don't think we sing this for here, but it's called, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? It goes this way. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. The hours that I've wasted are so many, the hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he's done so much for me? You see, there's joy in serving the Lord, but there's also an unfulfillment. There's a depression almost. There should be a sadness in the child of God's life when he's not serving the Lord, when he's not sharing the message of the gospel, when he's not supporting God's house. And we're all given that job to do based upon our ability, just like Mary, Jesus said, was doing what she could. You know, I'm not going to be held responsible to do what Pat's supposed to do because God's Holy Spirit has given her an ability and a skill and a way to get that done. He's not given me that. He's given me the ability to do my own job. It's so very important for us to realize that not only is it just a command to serve the Lord, but there's a joy and there's a fulfillment in being faithful to serve the Lord. Now, our next point here in the page 2 at the top, I love God's service because of the opportunity it affords me. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now, there's a couple of sayings here that I wrote down this week. You've probably heard these, but I want to segue these phrases into our service for the Lord in just a moment. But you've heard this phrase right here. You've heard this quote. Chance favors the prepared mind. Have you heard that? Chance favors the prepared mind. Talking about mental preparation, being good for you, being good for your future. Somebody else said this about luck. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. You ever thought about that? Well, just in the same way, we should love God's service because it gives us opportunity and opportunities that we would never had otherwise. When you serve the Lord, He opens up doors. Opportunities for service in these areas often come from this one area. I'll use an example of Philip in the New Testament. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago too. Philip was already preaching a revival in Samaria. He was busy. He was preaching. His souls were being saved. He was witnessing, and a great revival was in Samaria. But the Holy Spirit, while he was doing that, led him out into the desert. And as he walked along in the desert, he saw that chariot out there. And inside that chariot, there was a man, the Ethiopian eunuch, who was reading the scriptures. And he didn't know what he was reading. He didn't understand what he was reading. But because God's Holy Spirit took him out there to the desert, Philip was able to teach this man the scriptures. It was an opportunity that he would have not had if he hadn't already been faithful to the Lord. We are people who are recipients of new opportunities to serve the Lord, and we get those opportunities while we're serving the Lord. There again, what do? We do what we can. We start out right here with this task, and if we have a right motive of heart, and if we have a heart that's sincere before the Lord, He accepts this area of service, and then He gives us another one because of that, and that we would have never had if we hadn't done that. David was another one. It's in the Old Testament. David was just a shepherd boy. He was a herder of sheep. His family didn't want him. They shunned him. But he was faithful in what God gave him to do as a job, and he was to become the king of Israel because of his faithfulness. Not only the king of Israel, but the Lord Jesus Christ would come from his loins. You say, well, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, start out with what we know. God wants us to be faithful to his house. Start there. God wants us to be good stewards of our money. Start there. God wants us to get into His Word every day and read it, and He wants us to have a heart of prayer. Well, then let's start there, and God's going to show us other opportunities. Thomas Edison said, most people miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. God brings us opportunities as we're working for Him. Isn't that neat? He gives us things to do because of what we're already doing. He blesses us for our faithfulness to serve Him. So we love to be in God's service because of its fulfillment, its joy. We love to be in God's service because of the opportunities it affords us. And we also love God's service because of the rewards that awaits us. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There is a crown of glory. You know, glory comes in a lot of ways. Glory comes in fulfillment. Glory comes in the protection that God gives His people. Glory comes in the opportunities that He keeps on giving His people. But glory also comes in the form of rewards. He rewards us for service. He rewards us for our faithfulness to Him. On one occasion, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, what are we going to get out of serving you, Lord? And Jesus told them that no man had left houses or lands or family or such that he would receive 100-fold in his life. Isn't that neat? That's what Jesus said. It's Matthew 19, verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and not only that, and shall inherit everlasting life. What a deal. That's a 2-for-1 right there, Linda. What an awesome deal that is. When we serve the Lord, we are recipients of His rewards. Paul said that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that the Lord has in store for them that love Him. Jesus told His disciples on one occasion that He was going to prepare a place for them, and if He went and prepared a place, He would come back and receive them unto Himself. Peter said that we had an inheritance which was incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away and reserved in heaven for those who are kept by the power of God. John in Revelations saw a city built four square, 1,600 miles cubed, which is the New Jerusalem, and that's the city of the Bride of Christ, the redeemed of the Lord. And all this is ours. And Paul said that our inheritance, our rewards would be so many that it'd take all the ages to come for the Lord to tell us of the fullness of his grace. You ever stop to think about that? We live up there for eternity just to hear about him, just to learn of him and his glory. Now, in the Bible, there's five specific crowns mentioned, and I jotted these down for you in this little deal. The crown of rejoicing, that's the result of winning souls. That's one type of service, because we can do that whoever we are. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" This crown is given to those who witness, who pull souls out of fire, who witness for the Lord. One of the most important services that Bible Baptists could do to the Lord and Bible Baptists could do for this community is to see people saved, to see people realize that they're sinners and that they need a Savior's solution in the form of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the crown of rejoicing, the result of winning souls. Number two is the crown of life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." This is a crown for those who are faithful in the midst of trials. You think there's been a few crowns given out this year in the era of COVID? Some people been going through the ringer. A lot of sickness, a lot of deaths in their family. And here's a crown of people who are a crown of reward for people who are faithful in the midst of their trials. This is for those people who exercise their faith in the very most difficult of times. It's the crown of life. There's the crown of righteousness, number three. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And this is for those people who anxiously look for and await the second coming of Jesus Christ. Brother Chris preached on that a couple weeks ago. As a child of God, I should have a desire to go to heaven. I should have a desire to see the Lord come back for his people. We should have a desire to take our place in the mansions above. You know, we get so busy and life is so high tech that we forget about that, don't we? That's the crown of righteousness. Number four is the incorruptible crown. It's for those Christians who run the race of life faithfully to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." This is for those people who do everything that they have to be faithful to the Lord. That's what that means. I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. I want to force myself. I want to do whatever I got to do to be faithful to the Lord. It's for those people who have a daily walk with the Lord and they respond accordingly to what they find out in God's Word. That's the incorruptible crown. And then the fifth one is for preacher boys. It's for Brother Chris, the shepherd's crown. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Going to have a crown for being faithful to preach the Word of God. And then we'll collect all these crowns if we're faithful to serve the Lord. If we're faithful to witness, we'll get the witnessing crown. And if we're faithful to the Lord in our trials, we'll get the faithfulness to the Lord crown. And we'll just get all these things. And when we go to heaven, we'll give them back to Him. Revelation 4:10 says, "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." There's nothing greater that we could do in our life as a child of God in 2021 than to serve Him, to conduct our lives in such a way, to worship and serve the Lord in such a way where God's reward is right here behind us, protecting us as we go. There's nothing we could do better. I would benefit greatly by getting in shape. I would benefit greatly by losing weight. I would benefit greatly by having a job that pays more money. But all those things are temporary. And when I take 2021 and I use that as an opportunity, no matter what happens, hey, we had COVID-19 this year, we might have COVID-20 next year. You don't know. But we got to go into it with a mind to serve God no matter what happens. Be faithful to Him no matter what happens. And when we do that, we'll be like the shepherds from last week's Christmas lesson in Luke 2. And the glory, the light of God's glory will shine in our lives. That's where I want to be. I'm tired of wasting time. Aren't you? I mean, sometimes we seem like we're on a spinning wheel and we're not going anywhere. I want my service in 2021 to be faithful to the Lord. I want it to mean something to Him, because I know He will honor that. And He'll honor that in your life as well. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for these examples here. And we just pray, God, that as we go, we start a new year, Lord. And so much has happened this year. But I pray, God, that each member of Bible Baptist Church would start the new year with a determination, a renewed fervor for God's house. And Lord, we know that many people are being safe right now, and we're so glad of that. But God, I just pray that You would work it in such a way to where between the vaccinations virus running its course, Lord, I pray that Your people would have a renewed interest to serve You, a renewed interest to witness, and a renewed interest to be here in this place to bless You and to bless each other and encourage each other. Thank You for this place to come, Lord. I pray, God, that You would be in this place and that Your Spirit would be among the people in this place. In Jesus' name.